Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKedesh, is daf Pei Gimel, and we're holding at the second line. Our Mishnah said, Cholem Achilino Toapi Bekiin. So if someone is ill, so you're allowed to give him food, but it's Alpi Bekiin, which is mashma, that you're only allowed to give the guy food if there are doctors that will tell you, and Bekiin means at least two, right? So it's mashma, you can only give him food in the event that there are doctors that are backing you up on it and saying that he can have. Omer Rabbi Yannai. So let's take a look at what Rabbi Yannai says and see what it implies about how to understand the Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Yannai. Chole omer tzarich, v'rofe omer eno tzarich. Shomim lachole. So suppose the chole himself says, I feel that I absolutely must eat. And they ask a doctor, and the doctor says, look, he takes the guy's blood pressure, looks at all his vital signs. This guy is doing fine, and there's absolutely no reason for him to eat. The halacha is, we listen to the chole. We don't pay attention to the doctor. Why? Because lev yodea marat nafsho, as it says in Mishlei, a person has himself a deeper sense of what is going on in his body than the doctor does. So if that would be the truth, then of course that has all kinds of implications. I mean, how many doctors are we talking about precisely? I mean, first of all, asked the Gemara, isn't it obvious that direct sensory information is better than information that somebody else has? So isn't that pshita? Says the Gemara, no, actually, it's not pshita. Because ma'atatema rofe ikim leitfe. I might have thought that there's a tremendous difference in terms of the quality of the information. And because of the fact that one is objective and the other one, by definition, is reporting on his sense of where he's at. But there's no reason why we should say that it's the equivalent of a holistic take on the information that the doctor only has certain details of, which is what we thought. But kamashmalan, that's not the case. And in the other way, suppose the doctor says he does need to eat, and the chole says he doesn't need to eat. In that case, we say that we listen to the doctor, because of the fact that he is the one that is sensing the information, the very fact that he's ill may be making it more difficult for him to accurately sense how he's feeling. So my time at you see this often where someone is dehydrated and they don't realize that they have to drink anything. So, you know, the doctor will obviously be able to say, listen, this guy is clearly dehydrated. And he says, no, I feel fine. I don't feel thirsty. So therefore, we go basically l'chumra in both directions. So on the one hand, we say, okay, he is the best one to tell us the information about how he feels, but not where there's a chance that he might not be perfectly aware. It's not. So now the Mishnah does not seem to work out at all, according to what Rabbi Yannai just said. The Mishnah says that chole ma'achilino to'api biki'in. So first of all, the Mishnah says that you need two biki'in, right? Furthermore, it says you definitely need biki'in, which means you have to have an objective assessment. But that's mashma, that only alpi biki'im in, but alpi atzmo lo. And if you don't have an objective assessment, then you're not allowed to give him to eat on Yom HaKippurim, right? Furthermore, it's alpi biki'in only on the basis of plural professional opinion. Whereas Rabbi Yannai said, even alpi echad. So from the Mishnah, it's clear that alpi baki echad lo, which means that both elements of Rabbi Yannai's psak seem to be wrong based on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yannai said we trust the chole more than we trust Bekiim. And secondly, we will trust a single baki more than we will trust a chole in terms of saying that he must eat. Here it says neither of those things are true. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about in our Mishnah, where the chole is insisting, I don't need to eat. I'm telling you, lo tzarichna. So over there, look, in fact, if he had said, I do need to eat, then it wouldn't have said, ma'achilin alpi bekiim. Of course, we're ma'achilin alpi atzmo. But if he's insisting he doesn't need to eat, then we make him eat if the doctors say that he needs to eat. Says, okay, but still, it's not like Rabbi Yannai. Because Rabbi Yannai says even if one doctor says he needs to eat, and here it says only if two say that he needs to eat. So therefore, lisvolei al pi baki, according to Rabbi Yannai, we should give him food on the basis of one doctor's opinion. And here in the Mishnah, even if you're learning that it's referring to the case where he's insisting I don't need to eat, it's still telling me to override his feelings only on the basis of two professional opinions, which is also not like Rabbi Yannai. So you only answered half of the question. Answers the Gemara that this idea in the Mishnah that says that you need two people to say that he has to eat for us to insist that he eats, that's Davka, Diika Achrina Vade, Diomar Lo Tzarech. It's talking about where the Chole says, I don't need to eat. And there's a doctor that agrees with him and says there's no objective reason for this guy to eat. And then there's another doctor that says, I think he does need to eat. So over there, putting together the direct sensory information of the patient together with objective opinions of one professional, the single doctor that claims that he needs to eat is no reason for us to be machil him on Yom Kippur, and therefore he doesn't have the right to eat. There the Mishnah is saying, you need two people. Well, isn't that obvious? Machilino to api bekiyin. So then if that's the case, it's pshita. I mean, it's certainly a suffix nefashot if you've got two people on the other side. And we know that a suffix nefashot is always lahakel. So it's therefore a dover portion. If you have two people, meaning one doctor and the chola, saying he doesn't need to eat, and two doctors who says he does need to eat, so then it seems to be pretty obvious, no? You're right. Actually, this chiddush is davka lo tzricha, di'ika trei achrina ba'adei da'amir lo tzarech. The real case is there are two experts saying that he does not need to eat, and he himself is also saying that he does not need to eat. So therefore, I would have said, okay, normally speaking, when we're talking about a situation where we've got a edus, so let's say we've got two edim on one side and 100 edim on the other side. So the halacha is that it makes no difference how many you have on one side, how many on the other side. You have a basic idea of ne'emanus, and then it doesn't matter how many people. We're not adding up people over here. So Afak Avdi Amar of Safra, you might have made the mistake that this question, which is obviously a judgment call, right? So you might have thought that judgment calls are similar to a psak based on the information that's provided by witnesses. So that you might have made the mistake of thinking that trei kmeya umeya katrei. When you're dealing with issues of witnesses, there's no difference between how many witnesses. Once you have two witnesses, 100 witnesses, two witnesses is exactly the same. And if there's any hakasha between two on one side and a million on the other side, we are only seeing it as trei u trei. But that's only true when it comes to edus, because edus is a completely different halacha in which it's a reconstruction of the event. And there's no difference. It's not opinions. It's nothing to do with opinions. But where we're talking about judgment calls. So this is an umdana. An umdana is an assessment. It could be an assessment of a property, an assessment of a situation, but it's a judgment call. So when it comes to an umdana, so normally the halacha is that we go according to the number of people, because since it's judgmental, then therefore the more different people feel come down on one side of it, we would go according to the rov. But that's coming to tell me, and I might have made the mistake of thinking that that's true over here as well. So, okay, it's not about edus. It's about judgment. We've got three people on one side and two people on the other side. So if it's judgmental, let's go according to the majority, right? Therefore, we need to know that we don't even follow the majority when it comes to an assessment that is no geya suffix nefashis. That's the chiddush. So even though we're telling me that le'inyan umdana de mamon, where we're making an assessment, and it comes to do with mamon, then indeed, like Rav Safra said, we go according to Basar Deis. But Aval Hacha, here we're talking about a Safek Nefashas. And in a Safek Nefashas, we do not go by Rov, we go according La Hakel. Whichever one allows him to be over the Isser, which is the possibility that he may become sickened because of it, we follow that. I don't care how many people there are on the other side. That's the point in the Mishnah. Wait, so you're telling me now that the only way that this Mishnah really makes sense, according to what Rabbi Yana is learning, is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the chole is insisting that he does not need to eat. And that's where we need to have the Kiddush of the Mishnah. But that doesn't make sense, because take a look at the last part of the Mishnah. In the last part of the Mishnah, it says, if there are no experts available, so then ma'achilino to'a piatzmo. So what does that mean? If there are no experts available, so that means that up until now, what we're talking about is the same, right? Michlal de Reisha is talking about that he does need to eat, because when you say at the end, look, if there's no doctors, just listen to what he has to say. He says he has to eat, so let him eat. Okay, so then that's mashma, that we're talking about him saying, I need to eat. So the first part of the Mishnah saying is, if he says he needs to eat, then you ask the experts. If there are no experts, then fine, just feed him because he says he needs to eat, right? Okay, but where does it say anything about his saying, I don't need to eat? Mishnah doesn't add up. You're right, it doesn't. But what we're forced to say is that, Brucey, stop it. We've got a Barnea, it's bad enough, man. I don't have anything. I forgot to bring something to drink. So, Chisuri Mechasra, actually, the Mishnah is missing, and it's missing the following words. In order for the Mishnah to make out, we have no choice but to include the following words. When do we say that I need an expert opinion? That's only if he said, I don't need to eat. Lo tzarich ani. I don't need to eat. But suppose he says, I do need to eat. So then the halacha is, Ein sham bekiim, meaning there are no two bekiim, and there's only one baki, el achad di omar lo tzarich, so then ma'achilin oto al pi atzmo. So then the meaning would be is that what the Mishnah is saying is that he can eat only where there are two doctors. What it's saying is that it's davka, what we said before, that's davka where he says, I don't need to eat anything. And therefore, it says over there, you want to overrule him. So then, and we said what the case was, that we have doctors that are agreeing with him. And over there, we're saying, if you don't have people on his side, so you only need one doctor to overrule him, which is what Rabbi Yannai was saying. This is the way we'll work out the mission like Rabbi Yannai. But in the event that he's saying, I do need to eat, he would be able to eat no matter what. As long as you don't have more than one doctor saying he doesn't. This is the way we're learning the Mishnah. Mar Bar Rav Ashi says, no. I don't care how many doctors there are that say he don't need to eat. You never overrule the patient himself. If the patient says, I need to eat, afilu I don't care if it's 100 experts who says this guy does not need to eat. We always listen to the patient. A heart knows its own bitterness, and therefore he can sense himself if he needs to eat. But what do we do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Im ein sham b'kiyin," only if there are no doctors. Then machilino to apiatzmo mashma that time it aleka b'kiyim. The only reason we're going to pay attention to this guy is because there are no doctors. But if there are doctors there, and the doctors are saying not. So then, I don't know, you can work it out how you want. Two doctors, three doctors, how many people, I don't know. But it's definitely saying in the Mishnah, there's no way to avoid the fact that the Mishnah is saying that only if there are no Bekiyim do we listen to him. But there's some case where there are Bekiyim where we don't listen to him, right? Ha'ika Bekiyim lo. No. You don't understand, Mar Bar Rav Ashi says. When the Mishnah says, Ein Sham Bekiyim, it's saying as follows. It's saying, when do we say, in other words, when does the Reisha say that you need Bekiyim? That's Dafka, where he says, I do not need to eat, which is the way that we were learning it. But if he says, I need to eat, ein sham bekiyam, meaning the heck with all the experts. Don't pay any attention. That's what it means. It doesn't mean ein sham bekiyam if there are no experts. It means we couldn't care less about experts. That's the point. Ein sham bekiyam klal means pay no attention to the experts. And over there, machilino to apiatzbo, by definition, shenemar lev yodea marat nafsho. So that is the alternative way of reading the Mishnah. And that is, as even the Ramah says, that was the way that Vatikan Paskin, even though it may not be necessarily the way all the Rishonim Paskin. Okay, we're ready now for Doc. And he has not escaped in time. Give it to us. At last. The Litvish are back. What can I tell you? So now, as I mentioned to you yesterday, there's such a thing which is called a bulmus. So the bulmus in the Gemara is a intense hunger that makes an actual sakonis nefashis if the person is not given instantly food. So if he, and this is nogea all the time, obviously not only Yom Kippur, we would give this person afilu dvorim tmeim. You can give him non-kosher food, and you give him as much as he needs. Ad sheyeuro enav. You have to wait until his eyes actually can now they brighten and he could see clearly. Mishen neshacho kelef shoteh. If somebody was bitten by a rabid dog, ein ma'achilino to michatzar kavechelo. They used to believe that if you feed the victim of the bite with the diaphragm of the mad dog, and that would be a cure against the rabies. And obviously, that's not kosher food. So Rav Mati ben Charash says that is mutter. The Chachomim obviously argue. So the way Rashi understands the machlokas here is that the Reb Matya ben Charash holds that this is an actual refuah, and the Chachomim hold that it's not an actual refuah. So once again, Rashi learns that the machlokas between Reb Matya ben Charash and the Chachomim is whether it is an actual refuah to give this person the diaphragm of the dog, and that the Chachomim hold there's no such refuah. Now, it's very interesting that some of the Rishonim learn that the point of the Machlokas is fascinatingly that Rav Matya ben Charash holds that you are allowed to use placebos, that even though this is a ridiculous superstition, but since everybody believes it, so therefore it's going to help the guy psychologically and therefore may affect his immune system in being able to deal with the rabid dog bite, which is fascinating. It's a completely different take. Are you allowed to be soimech on a non-medical cure? Now, interestingly enough, also, this becomes now, in the Rambam, this is like, this is beautiful. This is the place where the Rambam discusses the nature of, one of the places, where he discusses the nature of what is considered to be refuah and is mutter b'machal Shabbos on. And what he explains is that there are certain things that there is anecdotal evidence that it works, but it has not been proven by experiment. And those things, anecdotal evidence, is not a heter for Chilul Shabbos. And he has this beautiful comment in which he adds, halavai, that you could rely on experiments to be adequately controlled, because they're probably not true even when they are experiments. It's amazing. There's a kol shekein when there's no experimental data and you just have these people coming forward and saying that this helps. Forget it. That for sure you're not allowed to be mechal al Shabbos with. But it's interesting. I mean, because there came up obviously recently questions of whether you would be allowed to utilize alternative medicine if that involves a Chilul Shabbos. So Rav Oldenburg has tshuvas on these issues. So, I mean, he says that the Rambam is machalic between things that fit the scientific data and structure, not only that are experimentally valid. Now, that is a big problem, because it would mean that suppose you do not have any valid scientific basis for something working. In other words, you don't understand why it would work, but it actually shows up experimentally that it does work. So he holds, many hold this way, that the Rambam would agree that it does not mean, when he says alpi teva, it doesn't mean that we need to know how it works alpi teva, and that it would be enough to have experimental data. But this is a big shaila, because there are many who hold that something that is an alternative and it does not fit into any scientific structure, that the experimental data would be insufficient to be matachil Shabbos for. So this is this sugya is very, very interesting sugya. Anyway, furthermore, said Ramatya ben Harash, that if somebody is choshesh bigrono, he has pain in his throat. Now we're going to see that what we're talking about over here is some type of actual disease that may end up being an actual sarcotis of fascias. In which case, there's the other girsa that says a choshesh bepiv is more likely, because the story in the Gemara that revolves around this Mishnah is Sapidna. And that is definitely considered to be a life-threatening disease. Many suggest that it's scurvy, because of the fact that the way the Gemara defines the bleeding in the gums sounds very, very much like scurvy, and the fact that in the end it's life-threatening and it destroys the whole digestive system. So it's possible that that's what we're talking about. But in any event, it's talking about being Mechalel Shabbos for this disease that the first symptoms that you have is severe bleeding in the gums. So that way, choshesh begrono would not mean literally begrono, it would mean in his mouth itself. So matirin lo sam bepiv b'shabbat, there would be no problem, whatever it is that you have to do, even if making this medication involves an actual chil Shabbos, so you have to pick something, you have to boil it, you have to grind it, whatever, since it's a suffix nefashes, kol suffix nefashot doche et ha-shabbat. So because of this, you could also understand the following. A building collapses. We're not certain whether the person is there. I mean, we know a person was around, but I mean, we don't really know that the building fell on him or not. Or for that matter, if we did know, we don't know whether the guy is dead or alive. I mean, maybe he was already killed. We don't know whether he's Jewish or not. Maybe he's a kuti, meaning a goy. Maybe he's a Yisroel. In any event, we go ahead and we are doing whatever is necessary to clear away the rubble. If they find him alive, so then they continue to clear. If he's dead, they leave him there. Now, these sugyas are very, very nogea questions of determining brain death issues. And so all these things are brought in for a great part from this sugya as well, so as we'll see. Okay, so we start with the idea of the bulmos. So we said that if somebody has a bulmos, you give him whatever is necessary until oru enav. Tana rabbanan. Minayin ayu yodim she iru enav. I mean, how do you know under all circumstances that he has actually, his eyes have returned to normal, he could see properly, and we see his eyes are, they don't look dulled or anything. I mean, suppose it's dark. How would you know? Mishayavchin ben tov l'ra. When he knows the difference between good food and bad food. Amar Abayu b'taima. We're talking about them knowing the difference in taste. Because if he was still in the middle of a bulmos, he would not be able to detect the difference in food. You'll notice the obvious connections to the story of the Etz Hadas and the idea of enayim and taste and food and so on in Gan Eden that bulmos relates to. Tana Rabbanan, mishachazo bulmos, machilin ato akal akal. I mean, look, you're going to have to give him something treif. So choose the least chomer of the isurim and give him that isur. So let's say, for instance, suppose you've got some tevel food to give him and some nevela food. So then it's better to give him the nevela food, because tevel is chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, and nevela is only a iser lav, normal iser lav. So then give him the nevela. Let's say you have tevel and shmita things. So the shmita things that are after the zman ha-biur, so then you should feed him the shmita, because eating shmita at the time of after biur is only a violation of that mitzvah biur. So because of that, it's only an aseh. So then for sure, give him the shmita. Now, how about if you have tevel on the one hand and truma on the other hand? So then, now we're going to see what that actually means is, is it better to take the tevel off of the, to take the truma off the tevel and make it non-tevel, or is it better to feed it to him as tevel? But okay, first it just looks like we've got two possibilities. We can give him truma, or we can give him tevel. So then it says in a braita, better to give him tevel and not to give him truma. Whereas Ben Tema says, no, on the contrary, better to give him truma and not to give him tevel. So let's see if we can figure out what the Bachlokas says. Says Rabba, first of all, let's understand something. If you could take off truma, and thereby you would be left with enough kosher food that this guy could be cured, so then obviously you take off the truma. That was not the issue. Over there, the kuli amalo pligida mitakanina lay, we take off the truma and the meiser, and we give him the chulin that remains, because if it's possible to give him kosher food, then give him kosher food, even though it may involve chilul Shabbos min rabbanan in taking off the truma samaiser on Shabbos. But we were certainly not going to give him a d'oraisa treif of put. So keep plige, but aloy evshe b'chulin. If we took off the truma samaiseres, we would not have enough to feed the guy chulin. So then the question is, what should we do? Is it kedai to leave it as tevo, and he'll be over on the Isser of tevo, or is it kedai to make it truma and chulin, and then he'll have to be over on the Isser of truma? What are the differences? Mar Savar Ben Tema obviously holds tevel is more chomer, because tevel is usher even to Kohanim. Bashenken, if he's eating truma, he's eating something that is usher to him. Both of them rochi of misa b'dei shamayim, right? The truma to a czar, or tevel to anyone. But something which is an iser to everyone is more chomer than something which is only an iser to a czar. So therefore, since truma is chazir l'kohen, it would be better to give him truma. Whereas Mar Savar, the other man, the Omar, holds over here, the Tanakama, that Truma is more Chomer. Why? Because Tevel is fixable. I understand that it's not going to help you to fix it in this particular situation, but the Chumra of the Isser of Tevel is less Chomer because of the fact that you could take it off through the simple expedient of taking off Truma Samaiser, so now it won't be Tevel anymore. So because of that, it's the type of iser that is going to be less chomer. Fine. Now, let us discuss the question of what was originally the entire basis of what Rava just said. He said, efsher b'chulin, that if it's possible to give it to him, so then you should give him chulin. I mean, isn't that a little ridiculous? Obviously. If it's Efsher B'chulin Pshita, I need Rabbi to tell me that you should give him kosher food. So obviously, the Gemara talks out what we already mentioned. Obviously, we're talking about it's on Shabbos. So now, if you're going to take off the Truma Samaisus on Shabbos, then you're going to be over on an Issur D'Rabbanan, because it's similar to Tikkun Maneh. You're not allowed to be Metakein things on Shabbos. Okay, so therefore, he's telling you, it's kedai to do that and not this. I mean, isn't that also rather obvious? I mean, we're going to give a guy d'oraisa, iser, that is chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, and not do the iser d'rabbanan of taking off the truma on Shabbos? I mean, b'Shabbos nami pshita. I mean, what's the issue over here? What, it's like muktzah kind of thing? It's like a tiltul. I mean, d'rabbanan, it doesn't mean literally tiltul. Obviously, it's not, it's not mamish tiltul. But the idea over here is, that, I mean, some say that it means tiltul because you have to take out, you have to pick it up, but it's, and while it's muks and so on. But the pasha, the meaning is that It's just like the idea of the Rabbanon's Tosefet on an Isser. It's like Tilto. Obviously, to be over on Tavol D'Oraisa, of course we would do the Isser of taking off the Trumas and Maisras. Ah, so you know what it's talking about? It's talking about that the Tevel itself was only the Rabbanon. That's the point. We're talking about over here, the produce itself grew in an Otzitz She'eno Nakuv. So it grew in a flower pot that did not have a hole in the bottom, therefore was not considered to be midiraisa chayev in trumas amaisers at all. It's the Rabbanan who were mechayev it in trumas amaisers. So basically what we're doing here is we're stacking up an iser achila drabanan of things that are only tevel min Rabbanan against the iser of taking off trumas amaisers on Shabbos, which is drabanan. And so what Rava was coming to tell us is that if you've got one or the other, it's kedai nonetheless to be over on the taking off the Trumas HaMaisers rather than to be eating the Trumas HaMaisers. So that's what Rabba was saying, that both the Tanakam and Ben Tema would be made, that if it's shayach to have enough food that would be kosher by being over on the Isser of taking off Trumas HaMaisers on Shabbos, then it would still be kedai to go ahead and to do that. So that would mean that the, where is there a machlokas between the Tanakama and Ben Tema? The machlokas would be Benogea, where he needs to eat every last bit of it in order to cure his bulmas, right? So there the question is, what's more chomer? Ben Tema holds that we should actually take off the truma, give him the truma, and the Tanakama holds that no, it's better to give him the tevel min Rabbanan. Okay, so now what we're saying is that according to Rabba, we will definitely, it's more kedai to go ahead and take off the tevel. Is that really true, though? Lema tanoi. Is what Rabba said actually machlokas tanoi? The Tanya, somebody who was bitten by a snake, and it chops. Mishne shachol nachash. So first of all, you get a doctor for him, even if it involved traveling outside of the Tchum and so on. Ko'orim lo rofei mimakom lemakom. Meanwhile, we tear open a tarnagolat and we put it on the wound. Okay, so that's what was the accepted treatment for snake bite. Furthermore, gozizin lo takrishin, we will cut, if necessary, growing leeks from the ground and we'll feed it to him, which is also considered to be a necessary treatment. And we don't take off Meiser from the Krishim. So says Rebbe. Was Rebbe Loz? Rebbe Shimon says, no, he shouldn't eat those Krishim, these leeks, until he actually takes off the Meiser. So apparently, when Rabba said that basically everybody agrees, that only is true according to Rebbe Loz, Rebbe Shimon, that it's more kedai to be over on the Isser of taking off the truma rather than to be giving him the Isser from the beginning. That's what he seems to be saying. And Rabba claimed it was everybody that said that, but it's very clear that even though we're talking about krishim are only vegetables that are chayev only min Rabbana, by definition. So then that would mean that Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Elazar is telling me that you should take off the Isser D'Rabbanan. It's more kedai to do the Isser D'Rabbanan, and therefore, that's exactly what Rabba was saying. But apparently, Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe says, no, don't take off the Trumas HaMaisras, because if you're going to be doing an Isser anyway, then let him eat the Isser D'Rabbanan of Tevel D'Rabbanan, and not do the Isser D'Rabbanan of Tikkun Maisras. I mean, that's what it seems to be saying. No, it's not the same at all. Even Rebbe would agree with Rabba in this case, because what Rebbe was saying over here was a case of the leeks. Leeks are only ever a truma d'Rabbanan. And therefore, of course he would agree with Rabba. But in the case where we would have something that if it would be, what was the case we were talking about, where something was growing in a pot, and it was in a flower pot that did not have an opening to the ground. Now, it's very easy to get mixed up about a flower pot with an opening to the ground at the bottom or without. So in the case where you have Maaser Dagon, where over there it's a Tevel D'Oraisa, so there Rebbe himself might be Moda, that it makes more sense to take off the Trumas HaMaisers. Why? Because if you let him, in this particular case, you tell him that he should eat the Tevel, because it's only a Tevel D'Rabbanan, and it was grown in an altar chain in Nakuv, the guy might make the mistake of thinking that in a different case, where there was actually a hole at the bottom of the pot, so then he might do the same thing. But over there would be an Isser D'Oraisa, and that would be terrible to give the guy Tevel D'Oraisa and think that that's more kedai than actually taking off, being over the Isser D'Rabbanan of taking it off on Shabbos. So over there, Rebbe would agree that very possibly that in order to avoid that, that it's better to take off the Tevel. It was only over here that he was saying, look, it's Yerek. Everybody knows that you're either going to make a mistake. There's never a case where Yerek is the Yeraisa. Tana Rabbanan, once we're talking about Bulmasim, Mishach Azo Bulmas, Machilin Oto Dvash V'chomine Mitika. So what you do, if somebody is grabbed by a Bulmas, I don't know if you remember there was Bulmas, was that an old, I don't think anybody's old enough here to, there was actually Bulmas in a cartoon. So anyway, somebody was grabbed by a Bulmas. So you give him honey, you give him sweet things, because those kind of things are me'irin ma'ore nafshel adam. They restore your fading eyes. And even though we can't bring a raya, there's definitely an indication in the pasuk, because Yonatan, when he had been fighting with the Plishtim and had nothing to eat, so he was very upset with what it was that Shaul, his father, had told people, nobody's allowed to eat today. And he didn't know about it, but he had just dipped a little bit of stick into the honey that was all over the ground. He said, Ruunaki, O Ruenaiki ta'amti ma'advash. I said, look how my eyes have lit up just by eating a tiny amount of this honey. So what do you mean there's no raya? That's an awfully big raya. So you see that the little bit of honey is oru enav, right? No, but I mean, you can't. Look, I mean, he wasn't affected by a bulmus. He was just like really tired out from fighting and so on. He was hungry. I mean, we're talking about a bulmus. Maybe a bulmus does not respond well to that. Omar Abaye. Omar Abaye, lo shono ela la achar achila. You do not start off with sweets. That's all you need. That'll push him over the edge. The guy will go into some type of shock. Don't do that. But if you give him sweets beforehand, then it's going to make things worse. He's even going to get hungrier. So if you give him something sweet right away, migra gorya. Dechtiv vayimtzu ish mitzri basadeh, vayku toral David, vaytnilo lechem vayochal, vayashku mayim, and then vaytnulo pelach veilav shnei tzimukim, vayochal vatashav rucho alav, ki lo achal lechem velo shata mayim, shlosha yamim v'shlosha leilot. Okay, so over here they needed to get this guy who was an eved. So first it says they gave him bread. Then it says they gave him all of these fruits. So apparently they were careful not to give the fruit directly. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Mishachas Obumus, the best thing to do, give him alya. Alya is very, very fat meat. That's the alya v'keves that we put onto the mizbeach and mix it with honey. Rav Unibereder of Yeshua says, Af solet neki abidvash. You don't have any meat. You can also give him very high quality flour, wheat flour that is mixed with honey. Rav Papa Amar, even poor flour, like barley flour with honey, is also good. Rabbi Yochanan says, I once was grabbed by a bulmus, veratzti lemizracha shel te'ina, and I ran to the side of the fig tree that was facing the rising sun to the east, and I ate the figs that were on that side of the tree. V'kiyamti ba'atzmi ha'chokhma techaye ba'aleha. And therefore, I used my chokhmah to save my life. How was this part of his chokhmah? Because since I knew that Rabbi Yosef had said in a braita that haratzeh litom ta'am te'ina, somebody wants to taste the best possible taste of a fig tree, he should go to the side that faces east. Yifneh lemizracha, shenemar u'mimeged tvuos shamesh. So that the mimeged, the sweetest part, the most delicious part, is the part that is sun from the sunrise. At the first part of the day, it's exposed the whole time to the morning sun. That is going to make it much sweeter. Once Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were walking along the road, and all of a sudden, this bull moose grabs Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda turns around, takes the shepherd's breads and eat the bread without permission. Amar Rabbi Yossi, how do you do such a thing? Kipach tataroeh. You've wiped him out and took everything he's got. Now, this basically, there's a machlokas, big machlokas, whether you're allowed to save your life with somebody else's money. The question over here is whether, did he have a right? Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Kipach tataroeh. But Lemaisa, if, it's a big machlokas we're showing you, but if he took it, amanas to be mishalim, so there's some that are matir. Okay, it's not our sugya over here, but it's very interesting because this becomes an important gemara in that whole discussion. So there's some who work it out that should be, even according to Rishonim, hold that it's usr, even amanas mishalim. Anyway, they were walking together, continued into town, and as they enter town, this bulmos grabs Rabbi Yossi. So then the whole people see, oh my God, Rabbi Yossi is sick. The whole city comes out, bringing him all kinds of things. They surround him with the lage and tzoris. He's full of Winnie the Pooh honey jars and a whole beautiful plates full of all kinds of delicious foods. So Rabbi Yehuda said, yeah, maybe I grabbed the poor shepherd's food. You just took the entire city's food. Now nobody has anything to eat. What are you talking to me about? And another maisa once, where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, once we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi on the road, so this time, Rabbi Meir was with them, and Rabbi Meir, you should know, used to be able to be medayik bishma. So he would listen to what the person's name was, and based on the name, he would be able to be emed on the sheresh neshama. Obviously, I mean, they say that he was using some level of ruach hakodesh, not just the name, and he would be able to tell you whether the person was a tzaddik or a rasha. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, they never heard of such a thing. Lo avidayku bishma. So kimata lahu duchta, they come to this town, and they need a place to stay, and so fine, it's Erev Shabbos, so the guy gives them a room, and they ask the hotel owner, what's your name? And he says, my name is Kidar. So Rabbi Meir said, oh my God, this guy must be a Russia, because it says Kidar Tapuchotema, this guy's name is Kidar. So he must be a upside down, meaning that they are, you know, Oilo Amrim L'ra Tov L'Tov Ra. I'm not going to trust this guy. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, before Shabbos, they give their wallets to this guy to put in the hotel safe, right? Okay, fine. So he puts it in the hotel safe. Rabbi Meir refused to give him his wallet. And instead, he went to the back of the house, and this guy had his parents buried in the back of the house. So he put his wallet by the grave of this guy's father. So that night, this guy has this weird dream that his father comes to him in a dream and says, come and take the wallet that somebody put on my head. Okay, so anyway, in the morning, he comes out and they're sitting around and they're eating. And he tells his guests, man, did I have a weird dream? And he tells them over the dream. So they say to him, chalmud veshim shevet bu b'masha. Friday night, you know, it's the kind of time where you're sitting around, you're eating, you're having fun. You know, your mind can get run away from you and have weird kind of dreams. Pay no attention to the dream. Rabbi Meir says, oh my God, this guy may well pay attention to the dream. Rabbi Meir goes outside. He spends the rest of Shabbos sitting over there by the grave to make sure that this guy doesn't decide to go out. Okay. So, also Rabbi Meir, v'natri kuliyum v'ayita. L'mocher. So, anyway, okay, after Shabbos, they say to the guy, give us back our wallets. What wallets? So he says, so Rabbi Meir says, you guys, why weren't you medayik in his name? His name is Kidar. How do you give a guy whose name is Kidar wallets? I'm like, why didn't you tell us? I mean, you see that we're giving the guy our wallets, and you could have said something, no? Well, my loser would be embarrassed. Says, I'm certainly not going to tell anybody something so ridiculous that you should go ahead and be medallic in the guy's name. It's something that I do, you know? I mean, what, you think I'm really concluding that the guy's a Russian? I have a right to tell you he's a Russian? This is my personal anaga, you know? So he says to them, Amud Amri, Ana Chashasha. I said, okay, I get suspicious about these things. I'm going to start telling you about it. Achzuki mi Amri, would I ever say that the guy is Muxik as a Rosha? You want to trust him? Fine. I'm not going to interfere with your decisions. Anyway, so they decided, they took him, Mashkuhu, and they brought him into this restaurant or a bar. You know, meanwhile, they get him, they get him drunk a little bit so that they figured, you know, that'll keep him away. And meanwhile, maybe he'll even tell them, you know, he'll let it drop. Anyway, meanwhile, while they're talking to him, they see that he's got these lentils that are stuck to his mustache. So they go ahead and they keep him busy. Meanwhile, they send one of them. They go and they tell his wife, listen, your husband said you should get us. And we just had such a great time together. You know, he's a little bit high, but he said you should give us our wallets. And he said to tell you, just to make sure that you would trust us, that you guys had lentils for breakfast. Weird breakfast, I think. But anyway, that's what he said to tell you. She said, oh, okay, I guess he really did. So then she goes to the safe, brings them their wallets, and gives them back. Meanwhile, he shows up, sees his wife giving back the wallets, and he murders her. Hainu d'tanya, that's where they say, Mayim rishonim erchilu basar chazir, Mayim acharonim orgu et nefesh. So Mayim rishonim, which is a simin that you're Jewish. The famous story over there of a guy that had a restaurant, and if a Jew would come in, so he was pretending to be like a restaurant that the Greeks would approve of, where they were feeding basar chazir. So if he saw that somebody would be noitel yadayim, so he would know that he's Jewish, and then he would, you know, pretend to be giving him a normal serving, but everything was kosher l'mahadrin. But then a Jew that walked in didn't wash his hands, and he fed him the basar chazir, thinking he must be a goy. So then it turned out that his not washing netilas yadayim, that was ma'achil basar chazir. Mayim achronim, which is already a getter of sakonas nefashas, that ended up aguet ha'nefesh. Anyway, in the end, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi decided, you know, maybe we ought to learn a lesson from Rabbi Meir. So they did end up being medayik b'shem. So anyway, so they came to a place where the host's name was Bala. So they refused to go into that house because Amre Shema Mina Rosho. This guy has got to be a Rosho because it says in the pasuk Va'omar leBala Niufim. This person is like completely worn out from all of his adultery. So Bala is an old adulterer. So they wouldn't go in there either. Okay, some have the girsa that they read it from Achrei Beloti. So it means Bala Nufim, that he's been engaged in so much illicit sex that he's actually become old from everything. So they viewed it like going into a house of prostitution. So they wouldn't go in there. Mishin Shacho Kelev Shote, how do we identify a rabid dog? Well, there are five simonim. Chamisha dvarim nemru b'kelev shote. First of all, it goes about with its mouth hanging open and panting. It's dripping saliva, and it's got bubbles of saliva around its mouth, so that we say it's foaming. Right? It's a mad dog foaming at the mouth. Riro notef, oznav sruchot, it's got its ears that are, it's like doubled and moved back. Classic picture of the mad dog. It's got its tail, munach ayirechotav, it has its tail on its legs, not sticking out, and it sticks to the edge of the road. And some say it also seems to be barking, but it's not making noise. It's noveach ve'en kolo nishma. And how exactly does a dog get this condition? So mimai havi. So Rav says, look, it's some kind of magical thing, you know, because it affects the mind. and it's only affecting the mind, it must be that noshim kashvaniot besach hakodba. Shmuel says it's like all other illnesses, it's a ruach ra'ash or ha'ala, and the difference would be whether it's actually capable of infecting somebody else. I mean, if it's kishuf, so then it can't affect anybody else. If Shmuel is right that it's a ruach ra'ah, I mean, you know, so ruach ra'ahs are known because they're often viruses and or other pathogens. So then the nafka mina would be, can you kill it by getting close to it, or do you have to kill it from far away by shooting it? So nafka mina would be lemiktele bedover hanizrak. So that would mean, according to Shmuel, do not get near the thing. Make sure that it's killed, but it's killed by shooting. Tanya kavosu de Shmuel. In fact, the Braita says, like Shmuel, that it is actually capable of infecting somebody else. Kisho arginoto, in arginoto ala b'davar anizrak, only from a distance. And if you're just even rubbed by, if the dog goes by you, rubs against your clothing, it may have gotten some of its saliva on you. This is very dangerous. And the chayev be mistaken. You could get into a very bad state just by being rubbed against it. And if it bites you, then it's fatal. The chayev be mistaken. So is there something to do? Maitakante. Get your clothing off of you on the spot and run from the spot. So nishlach mane venirit. Revuna bereda Rav Yehoshua. Once happened that a rabid dog rubbed against his clothing. In the middle of the market, he took off his clothes and threw him down on the spot. And he said, Ki yamti ba'atzmi, ha'chokhmat t'chaye ba'ala. And he said, I was b'kayim on myself, this idea that by the chokhmah that you know, and I learned this sugya, that this way you can save your own life.